Yeah.
First Mishnah Masech Sukkah talks about the sukkah that's taller than 20 amos. It quotes the Machlokas Tanoim as to whether a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos is kosher or posel. Tanakama says it's kosher. Excuse me, the Tanakama says it's posel. Rabbi Huda says it's kosher. What's the Machlokas Tanoim? So the Gemara there has three different interpretations. The final interpretation, Rava's Pshat, which is the most famous. Rava says, Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim argue as to whether sukkah diras keva or sukkah diras arai. Should we assume that since we sit in the sukkah only for 7 days, it's a diras arai, it has the halachic status of a diras arai, it's a temporary dwelling, or should we say that since the Torah requires of us to sit in the sukkah for 7 days, so for those 7 days, it's a diras keva, and it has to have the status of a diras keva. Rabbi Huda holds that sukkah diras keva, which means that halachically it has a status of a diras keva, and even if you build it in such a way that it has to be a diras keva, it's still kosher, because after all, it's supposed to be a diras keva anyway. Even if you build it in a flimsy way, halachically it takes on the status of a diras keva. So certainly, if you build it as a diras keva, you build it taller than 20 amos, which presumably you can't build a sukkah that tall if it's not going to be a diras keva, it's a permanent structure. Rabbi Huda holds that a permanent structure is kosher for the sukkah, because sukkah is diras keva. We, of course, pass on to Chachamim that sukkah diras arai. Sukkah is supposed to be a temporary dwelling, which means that halachically it has the status of a temporary dwelling. And the Chachamim also hold you can't build the sukkah in such a way that it can't be temporary. If you build the sukkah taller than 20 amos, it's going to have to be kavua. It has to have a sense of permanence, because you're going to have to build it in a stronger fashion. The Chachamim hold it, that's possible. Because in sukkah has to be a diras arai, it has to be a temporary dwelling. You can't build it in such a way that it doesn't have the potential to be a diras arai. The Gemara in Yuma says that another nafkamina in this machlokas is whether a sukkah requires a mezuzah. We don't put a mezuzah on our sukkah. Sukkah's hachag b'chag, does it require a mezuzah or not? Rabbi Huda holds it's chayv a mezuzah. Why? Rabbi Huda again holds that sukkah diras keva. Halachically, it has the status of a diras keva. So even if you build it as a temporary structure, you build it in a flimsy way, canvas sukkah or even a wooden sukkah, but it's not such a strong structure, al pidin, it has the status of a diras keva. And if it has the status of a diras keva, it needs a mezuzah. It's no different than any other bias that we live in. The Chachamim hold no. Sukkah diras arai. Even if you build it as a diras keva, but if it has the potential to be a diras arai, it's kosher. If it's less than 20 amas, it's kosher. But because it's a diras arai, it has a status halachically of a temporary structure, you don't have to put a mezuzah up. It's a temporary structure. Any temporary structure never needs a mezuzah. Yeah?
Even if you want to say, I'm sure you could have said diras keva, from mezuzah, doesn't need to be diras keva for 30 days from mezuzah?
No, the idea of 30 days just means that that's not called diras keva until 30 days. It's actually a question whether you're chayav in mezuzah min haTorah in a dira, even if you're not living there for 30 days. I mean, first of all, if you buy the home, and even in less than 30 days, you're going to be chayav to put up a mezuzah anyway. The whole discussion of 30 days, if a person is a socher, because it might not be called beischa, but if a person owns the house, it is called beischa. It's hard to believe that it's called a dira sarai if he's only been living there for 10 days. And here, it's even better. The Torah tells us to live there for 7 days. So maybe the fact that the Torah tells us automatically, halachically, that makes it a diras keva. So what comes out is that since we pass like the Chachamim, we assume it's sukkah diras arai. It's not chayv and mezuzah. As long as it has the potential to be a diras arai, even if you make it ba'ofen shel keva, that's okay. The Gemara in Daf Beis in sukkah writes beferish that even if you build the sukkah out of metal, you know, some kind of metal structure, barzel, even if you make the walls out of metal, which is pretty keva, it's still kosher. So apparently, according to the Chachamim, it's necessary only to have the potential for arai. It doesn't have to literally be arai. Tosus on the Beis Amud Aleph has a very interesting question based on this understanding. Tosus says, if the Chachamim hold that any time that you have the potential for arai, the sukkah is kosher, even if it's built by oven shel keva, so what is the Gemara, what is the Mishnah at the end of the second parak in Sukkah say that Gishamim rain on Sukkahs is a simen klola? Why is it a simen klola b'chag? You can build the Sukkah b'ofen shel keva. As long as it's shorter than 20 amas, it could be built as a temporary, flimsy kind of structure. Then you can build it even b'ofen shel keva. That's not a problem. As long as it has the potential for arai, even if you build a keva, it's kosher. So ask Tosfos, so why is Geshamim Vasim and Kalala? Build the sukkah in a strong way that the rain can't come through the sukkah, then there's no reason for it to be a Simen Kalala at all. Because even the Chachamim said that you're allowed to build the sukkah ba'ofen shekeva. You can build it in a more permanent way as long as it has the potential in the size that you're building it to be a temporary structure. So build it in a permanent way. Build it in a way in which rain is not going to come down in the sukkah and it'll still be kosher. Yisrael?
What does it mean it has the potential to be?
That means that if it's shorter than 20 amos, you can make it a temporary structure and it will stand. The Gemara assumes, Rava assumes in the last shot in the Gemara, in that base, that a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos can't be arayt. It can't be temporary. You have to build it strong. Because if you don't build it strong, it's just going to fall apart. So you might have 20 amos, maybe 10 amos. That's what the Chachamim were Mishar, that if it's 20 amos tall, if it's 30 feet, 30 to 40 feet, whatever the exact measurement is, that structure has to be built in a permanent way. And the Chachamim say that's a problem. Because you have to have the potential in the structure, the size of the structure, that if you wanted to build it in a flimsy, more temporary way, you could do that. Okay? So that's Tosfos Kasha. Why is Geshamim considered a Siman Klola? Build a sukkah in a more permanent way. Even the Chacham said that's kosher. As long as you have the potential to make it alright, it's kosher even if you made it kavua. So Tosfos answers, apparently, that which the Chachamim claim, that the potential for arai is enough, that's only in the walls of the sukkah. But in the schach of the sukkah, the ikar ha-sukkah, the Chachamim hold that it has to be arai mamish. It's not enough just to have the potential to be arai. It's short enough, so it could be arai if you wanted to make it that way. The schach claims, Tosfos, the schach is the ikar of the sukkah. The sukkah is nikre sukkah al shem ha-schach. So the schach has to be mamish arai. The phonos have to be royal arai, and the schach has to be mamish arai. So that's why the Mishnah says, Geshamim arasim and kalala. Because if it rains on sukkahs, since you have to have a sukkah, claims Tosfos, you have to have a sukkah that the Geshamim can come through. You have to have schach of the sukkah that are mamish arai. It's really flimsy and temporary so that rain can come through. So now we understand why Geshamim is a sim and kalala. Because your sukkah has to be made in such a way that the rain can actually come through. So even if the Chachamim admit that you can make the sukkah ba'ofen shel keva, that only means in the walls. It doesn't mean in the schach. So that's why Geshamim is a sim and kalala. Not everyone agrees to Tosfos. They point out that the Rambam probably disagrees, because the Rambam, in a totally different context, talking about the Isser Hanoah of sukkah. The Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkos Tase Lecha. So the Gemara, in different places, makes a drosha, a hekesh, between Chag and Sukkos. Chag is Chagiga. So Kashem Shachal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga, just like a Korban Chagiga has a Kedusha to it, Shem Shamayim is Chal on the Korban Chagiga, so too the Shem Shamayim is Chal on the Sukkah. The Sukkah has a Kedusha. Kedusha to the Sukkah. One is not supposed to speak Dvarim B'Talim in the Sukkah. He's supposed to treat the Kedusha with Kedusha. We'll talk about other issues later in terms of treating the sukkah with kedusha, but because the sukkah has kedusha, so which part of the sukkah has kedusha? This extra kedusha. So some rishonim say the schach, that's the ikar of the sukkah. The Rambam says no. Even the walls of the defanos, even the wood of the defanos, the wood of the walls has kedusha as well. The classical nafkamina given is that you're not allowed to use the sukkah for something else. Let's say your shack fell down in the middle of Sukkot, and you had a couple of extra pieces of wood. Your sukkah is very large, so you could take apart part of the sukkah. What's the big deal? So it'll be open a little bit. But you want to rebuild the shack that fell down. You can't do that, because the wood of the sukkah has kedusha, so you can't use part of the sukkah for a non-kedusha purpose, for a non-sukkah purpose. You can't use it for divrei chol on Sukkot. After Sukkot, it doesn't have kedusha anymore. If you want to use it for your shack, you can do that. But on Sukkot, if you built it for the purpose of Sukkah, then it has Kedusha, and you can't take apart the Sukkah to use it for a non-Kadosh purpose. The Rambam holds that you can't even take apart the wood of the Defanos. Not only does the Schach have Kedusha, but the walls have Kedusha as well. So you see from the Rambam that the walls aren't just a Hechsher for the Schach, as we would say. Right? The walls aren't just necessary in order to be able to put the Schach on something. The ikar is the schach, and the funnels are somehow second-class citizens. They're only secondary to the schach. According to the Rambam, the walls and the schach are one and the same. They're both parts of the sukkah. So if the concept of atzei sukkah asur in kol shiva, if the yisra anov, the atzei sukkah applies not only to the schach but to the defunos as well, you see the Rambam puts the two together. So connecting that to the Gemara and Daf Beis, some point out that if the Gemara and Daf Beis in sukkah says that you can build the walls of the sukkah out of a strong material, out of metal or some other material and make it really, really strong. So don't you see, if the Rambam holds that the defunos of the sukkah are part of the Ikra sukkah, don't you see that in every part of the sukkah it's not necessary, no part of the sukkah, not the defunos, not the schach, it's not necessary to have arai mamish. Because if you would need arai mamish in the schach, according to the Rambam, you would need arai mamish in the walls too, because they're the same. They have the same status halachically. So the fact that the Gemara writes explicitly that you don't need arai mamish, you don't need it to make it out of a flimsy material, the walls don't have to be made out of a flimsy material, nevertheless the Rambam holds that the walls are part of the sukkah, they're an ikkar part of the sukkah. So that leads us to conclude that the schach also doesn't have to be made ba'ofen shel arai mamish. It doesn't have to be made in a flimsy way. It could be made just as strong as the walls. Because why should I distinguish? According to Tosus, I distinguish. The Gemara is talking about walls. The walls are not an ikar part of the sukkah. So the schach, that's the main part of the sukkah, that needs arai mamish, claims Tosus. But the Rambam puts the two together. He says they're exactly the same, vis-a-vis the iser hanah. So once we see that the Gemara writes explicitly that for the walls, the potential for arai is enough, the same should hold true when it comes to the schach. Of course, the problem is then, what's the answer to Tosa's kasha? Tosa said, Gishamim is a simen klal on sukkahs. Why? But according to the Rambam, you can make it kavua. Just like you can make the walls kavua, you can make the schach kavua. What's the problem? So the answer must be that the reason why Gishamim is a simen klal is because most materials that you make the sukkah out of are flimsy. You could make it kavua, but that's not the meaning. That's not what people do. You're not going to make it so kavua. You're only going to be there for 7 days. Most of the materials that you make the sukkah out of are going to be flimsy, so that perhaps is why Geshamim Marasim and Klola B'chag. But you see a major machlokas between Tosus and the Rambam as to, first of all, what's the sukkah composed of? What defines the sukkah? Tosus says only the schach defines the sukkah. The walls are necessary in order to have something for the schach to sit on. But the schach is what defines the sukkah. The Rambam says, no, both the schach and the defanos define the sukkah. So if you need the potential for arai, right? If we would say that the sukkah requires, according to the Chachamim, you need the potential for arai in the walls, right? You don't need to actually build it arai, but the potential is enough. So that would make a lot of sense only in the walls, according to Tosus. According to the Rambam, it would make sense that both in the walls and the schach, the potential for arai is enough. One actually doesn't have to build it arai mamish. You know, they bring an interesting raya to the Rambam that you can build a sukkah even if the rain can't come through. The Mishnah Daf Chav Beis in sukkah says, "Hamu'uva kimin bayis afal pi she'ein hakochavim nirim ksherim." If you build the sukkah in such a way that the schach is very thick and the stars can't be seen, it's still kosher. Now, first of all, we should point out, just parenthetically, you see, l'chatchila, the stars are supposed to be seen. You're supposed to build the sukkah in such a way that you can see through to the stars. But the Mishnah says, b'di'evit, it's still kosher. It's kosher, even if it's mu'uva k'min bayis. It's very thick, like a house. So some want to point out, isn't that a raya to the Rambam? Isn't that a raya that you don't have to build the sukkah in such a way that the rain can come through? The sukkah is mu'uva k'min bayis. The rain can't come through. So isn't it obvious that the rain doesn't have to come through? So some suggest, the Rosh quotes some deos in the Bali Tosfos, who say, no, it's no raya. The Mishnah says that it can't be, yet that it's kosher if it's mu'uva k'min bayis and the kochavim can't be seen. But if it's so thick that the rain can't come through, then it's like a puzzle. It's a big chiddush. The pasher pshat of the Mishnah is, no matter how thick it is, it's still kosher. Interesting. Interesting give and take there. Why do I mention all of this? Most of our sukkahs, when we build a sukkah, it's built in such a way that the rain can't come through. Someone engineered a kind of schach a number of years ago that rain couldn't come through. How did he do that? Imagine if you take a series of pipes and cut them across the middle and then shift the top level just a little bit. Okay, it'll look something like this. I take pipes. say these are five pots, right? So if you cut them, then you shift the top just a little bit, so the top half is going to lean over the two segments over here, two segments on each side. So if you then shift it just a little bit, I mean, if it's perfectly flat, the water is going to collect. But if you shift it just a little bit, so then when it rains, all the rain is going to flow off the side. It's a brilliant invention. This is apparently what someone thought. He thought of this brilliant idea, and he engineered this type of schach, and then he asked the shaila, is it kosher or not? So some wanted to say, according to Tosfos, it should be possible, because this is schach that will not allow the rain to come in the sukkah. According to Tosfos, it sounds like you need to build a sukkah in such a way that the rain can come through. If the rain can't come through, it's possible. According to the Rambam, it might be kosher, but according to Tosfos, there could be a problem. So some wanted to suggest that maybe this is kosher also. Maybe even according to Tosfos, this kind of thing is kosher. Why do you think? When Tosfos says that you need to have the potential for rain to come through in the sukkah, what does that mean? Do you actually need the potential for the rain to come through? That's part of the Gzeres HaKasav of sukkah, that you need the potential for the rain to come through? Or is Tosfos just telling us that rain coming through is a simen? That's an indicator of what you're building over here. It's a simen of what? Arai. It's a temporary structure. It's a temporary type of structure if the rain can come through. If the rain can't come through, that's a binyan kavua. So maybe you could suggest that even if you construct the schach in such a way that the rain can't come through, that doesn't make the sukkah possible. This is not a binyan kavua. This is a, you know, I mean, it's engineered, but clearly it's not like a roof of a house. So maybe it's not that Tosfos holds that you need there's this requirement that the rain has to be able to come through. It's not a siba, it's a simen. It's not that if the rain can't come through, the sukkah's possible, that's just the way it is. No, it's that if the rain can't come through, that's a simen ledover, that's an indicator that this is a very strong structure. You've got a very strong roof. But if you don't really have a strong roof, you have airspace in there, but you've just engineered the airspace in such a way that the rain can't come through, maybe that's still not called a binyan kavua. And if it's not called a binyan kavua, maybe even according to Tosfos, it should be kosher. But there was a debate back and forth as to whether this is kosher, whether it's possible. That might relate, first of all, to the Machlokas Tosfos in the Rambam, but it also might relate to how we understand Tosfos. Is Tosfos saying that you need arai mamish in the schach, chog v'lo yaver, it's got to be flimsy? And if rain can come through, by definition, it's flimsy. If rain can't come through, by definition, it's kavua. Or is Tosfos just saying, no, there's no definition that the rain has to be able to come through to be called arai? No, it's that if the rain can come through, that's an indicator, it must be arai. But if you can engineer a situation that the rain can't come through, but it's still arai, it's going to be kosher. So what if the rain can't come through? If it's still a temporary structure, Tosfos should say it's kosher. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph in Sukkah sets forth a very important klal in terms of the schach. What does the schach have to be composed of? The Mishnah says there are two requirements. First of all, it has to be a davar she'eino mekabel tuma, something that can't become tame. And secondly, it has to be gidulo min ha'aretz. It has to grow from the ground. Gidulo min ha'aretz and davar she'eino mekabel tuma. And the Gemara says they darshan from different psukim. These requirements are derived from the psukim. It used to be, years ago, that they would make schach out of branches from trees. They would cut down trees. People would try to get branches from different places. Then they started to make schach out of bamboo. Bamboo is certainly much better because the tree branches don't last from year to year. You know, they're strange. It's hard to store them. They're not easy to maneuver. Most of the schach from the branches is from the leaves, not necessarily from the wood, and the leaves, of course, are going to dry up. So it's not kedai to store the tree branches from year to year. So that's why they introduced bamboo. Someone must have taken a trip to the Far East and saw bamboo, and they thought it would be a great idea to make the schach out of bamboo. One of the interesting shilas when it comes to schach, especially with the old canvas sukkahs, does anyone have a canvas sukkah? It's not. You still have canvas sukkahs? Good? Okay, Baruch Hashem. So the canvas sukkah is made out of metal poles. You put up the metal poles, the frame, and then you put the schach on top of the metal poles. You put the canvas around the metal poles. That's the canvas is the walls, and then you have your schach on top. So people, even with a metal canvas sukkah, they will often have schach made out of bamboo. So at first glance, you'd say, what's the big deal? The Gemara says explicitly that all materials are kosher for the walls, the requirement of the Zulam and the Aretz Dover Shana Makabel Tumah, that's a requirement for Schach, but not for the wool. So what could be the problem? The problem is that even if the Schach is made out of Dover Shana Makabel Tumah, there are some poskim that want to say that if you mamid, if you support the Schach with the Dover Makabel Tumah, it's still possible. That's a big chiddush. But that's a very important issue that many of the poskim talk about. If you mamed bedaver makabel tumah, even if the schach itself is a daver shein makabel tumah, that might passel the schach. How so? So this is a mishnah daf chaf aleph amid beis in sukkah. The mishnah talks about a very strange case. Somech sukkoso bekarei hamita. Let's say you support the sukkah with the bedposts. They used to have beds that had posts coming up. You know, the fancy beds. If you go to the fancy bed stores, they still have some of these beds with the bedposts. And most of us don't sleep at the bed. I don't think in the dormitory they've gotten to that level. Yeah. So the Mishnah talks about what happens if you support the schach with the kari amita, with the bedpost. What's the halacha? Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Tanakhama, the Chachamim hold that it's kosher. What's the problem? Okay, so you supported the sukkah with the bedpost. What's the problem? Rabbi Yehuda says it's psula. So the Gemara says, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that so much sukkah with the kari amita is possible? So there's machlokas amoraim, what the reason is. One of the amoraim says, "Mipnei she'ein lo keva." Rabbi Yehuda, of course, holds that sukkah diras keva be'inan. And if you're supporting the sukkah, you have to support the sukkah with the bedpost. That's not keva. That's not a strong structure. It's very flimsy. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since sukkah diras keva be'inan, if you have to support it with the kari amita, it has to be posel. But the other amora says no, because your mamid bedover makabel tumah. The bed is makabel tumah, it's a kli. So if your mamid bedover makabel tumah, then that somehow passes the whole sukkah. Now, why would mamid bedover makabel tumah be a problem? My schach is kosher. My defunos can be made even out of a dover makabel tumah, so what could be the problem? So they talk, the Rishonim have different approaches. Some want to say it's a gzeira. It's a gzeira, we're afraid that if you support the schach with a dover makabel tumah, you might come to use schach that's makabel tumah. A simple gzeira, that's what the Ran writes. Some of Madaik from Rashi al Asar in the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph Beis, that Rashi holds that it's not just the Gzeira Drabbana. Minat Torah, if your mamid bedaver makabel tumah, it passes the schach. Rashi says that. He says, Hoel vikoroshal schach elu mamidin, havi ki'ilu sikech bedaver makabel tumah. Since you're mamid with this substance, it says, if you're masakech bedaver makabel tumah. The ikur of the schach is being hu amad, it's being supported by this item. So just like in the Gemara and Shabbos, when we talk about in Yonei Tumah, we say hakol holech achar hamamid, we always follow the mamid. The mamid is what's supporting the schach. So if what's supporting the schach is the davar makabel tumah, we treat it as though your mamish mesakech with davar makabel tumah. The mamid is not really the schach, you're not sitting under the mamid, but because it's supporting the schach, we treat it as though the schach is makabel tumah also. Different approaches. But that's the second approach as to why Rabbi Yehuda holds some of the kosher b'karamita is possible. So what's the din? Is mamid b'davar makabel tumah possible or is it kosher? To some point out, this is a major machlokas, a machlokas tana, a machlokas amara. We don't even know if you're paskin that some of the kosher b'karamita is possible. The Tanakhama says it's kosher. So someone has suggested that maybe the whole shayla doesn't even begin. If you take Rabbi Yehuda Shita, so then there's room for debate. And even within Rabbi Yehuda, it's not clear that some of Sukkosa B'Karamita is possible because of Mamed B'Dav B'Kabal Tumah. It might be possible because of what? Ein Lo Keva. It's a flimsy structure. But we paskin that Sukkah Diras Arai. So we don't paskin that Sukkah Diras Keva. So according to that Shita, there's no problem at all. It's not so clear that we should say that Mamed Schach B'Dav B'Kabal Tumah should be possible. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch happens to paskin like the Tanakam. He doesn't even begin, he doesn't discuss, you know, what is Rabbi Yehuda hold, why does he claim that so much the Kosovo Karamita is possible? It's because Mamed B'Dav Makabel Tumah, it's because of Ein Lo Keva. He doesn't even care about that. He passes like the Tanakhama, straight. That so much the Kosovo Karamita is kosher. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah doesn't disagree, he's not masik on the Shulchan Aruch. So the impression you get is that we pass him that Mamed B'Dav Makabel Tumah is kosher. There's no problem. If the schach is makabel tumah, it's a problem. But if the mamid is makabel tumah, so what? The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch makes another statement. This first Shulchan Aruch, the Paskins, like the Tanakhama, that's in Sinan Tov Resh Lamed Sif Yud Gimel. But in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Siv Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch makes another statement, which led the Magen Avraham to assume that, well, isn't the Shulchan Aruch concerned about Maimon B'Dover Mekabel Tuma? Yes, he does pass like the Tanakam and the other Sif, but why is he so concerned about Maimon B'Dover Mekabel Tuma and Siv Zayin? So the Magen Avraham suggests that maybe the Shulchan Aruch holds L'chadchila, you shouldn't be Maimon B'Dover Mekabel Tuma. We paskin that b'di'evit, if you were mamid b'davar mekabel tumah, the sukkah is kosher, but you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. If you sat in the sukkah, or if that's the only sukkah that you have, b'di'evit, it's kosher. But l'chatchila, the Magen Avraham assumes that the Shulchan Aruch holds l'chatchila, one is not supposed to be mamid b'davar mekabel tumah. So that chumrah of the Magen Avraham got everyone worried. Because now if you have your metal frame, you're going to put the schach on top of the metal frame, you're going to be in trouble. Because even if the schach is made out of bamboo, it's made out of trees, it's made out of something which is not mekabel tumah, it grows from the ground. Of course, it's detached from the ground. But it grows from the ground, and it's not mekabel tumah, so you think the schach is fine, but the problem is, if you mamid b'davar mekabel tumah, if you put it on top of the metal frame, you'll still have a problem. L'chatchila. So they point out that if you look at the Magen Avraham carefully, he does have a solution to the problem. He says that if you have a metal frame, you should put a piece of wood on top of the metal. You separate between the metal and the schach, and then you don't have a problem. This is what people call, the phrase that they've coined is mamid de mamid. A double mamid. Something that supports the mamid. Even if the Magen Avraham holds that mamid b'davar mekabel tumah is a problem, but the Magen Avraham himself says that mamid de mamid is not a problem. So that's what a lot of people are machmir. When I was younger, many people didn't know that there's this problem. Truth is, not everyone agrees with this. It's Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch. I'm sure there are some achronim, there are some postim who say it's not a problem at all. But for those who want to be machmir, some people used to take a piece of wood and tie it onto the metal, somehow get it onto the metal. Oh, actually, you don't even have to tie it. What you just have to do is put a plank of wood across, a couple of planks of wood across the metal, and then put the schach perpendicular to the plank. That's the simplest solution. In fact, there are some sukkahs nowadays that are not made out of metal. They're not canvas sukkahs. They're the prefabricated sukkahs. They're made out of like a hard plastic. People like to make sukkahs out of the hard plastic because it's easy to carry. It's lightweight, but it has metal, so it can withstand winds, but yet it's nicer. It's not the canvas. It's more solid. It's the same problem with the metal or the plastic. The plastic is also mekabel tumah. So the way that these things are made, they give you some kind of wooden planks to put across the top of the sukkah, and then you lay the schach perpendicular to the planks, and that's mamid demamid, which according to the Magen Avraham is okay. Yes.
What was the bedpost made out of? Metal or they were wood?
I think they were probably made out of metal, but even if they were made out of wood,
it's not a kabel tumah.
Not if it's made into a bed. It's made into a bed and it's a kli. Maybe it is going to be kabel tumah. But I think they were talking about metal there, actually.
And also, if it's on the side of the sukkah where it's metal, so that might be a maimim, but it doesn't passel where you sit under, does it?
No, it would passel the whole schach. If you assume that maimim b'davar mekabel tumah, as Rashi says, it's as if you're misakech b'davar mekabel tumah, so the whole schach is a davar mekabel tumah.
But only if it's being supported, but a lot of times the wood, the schach goes over the wood and onto the metal.
If you don't have wooden planks holding up the schach, if all you have is a metal structure, metal frame, so then that metal frame is supporting the schach is like a davar mekabel tumah. If you assume like the Rashi or even like the Ran, midrabbanan, it's possible. If you assume mamid b'davar mekabel tumah is a problem, it's possible midrabbanan, because we're afraid that you might come to be misakeh b'davar mekabel tumah mamish. There's a famous chazanish. The chazanish argued with this comment of the Magen Avraham. The Chazon Ish said, the way it's quoted is that the Chazon Ish claims that mamid de mamid is possible as well. Even mamid de mamid, not only mamid, but even mamid de mamid. Rabbi Shefter points out that's not really what the Chazon Ish held. The Chazon Ish held, me'ikar adin, I think there's no problem at all. Me'ikar adin, the Shulchan Aruch says that mamid de mekabel tumah is not a problem at all. He says, if you want to be machmir for the Magen Avraham that mamid de mekabel tumah lechatchil is a problem, the Magen Avraham's solution is not going to help you, he says. Because what's the difference between mamid and mamid de mamid and mamid de mamid and mamid de mamid de mamid? What's the difference? You're still supporting the schach with the davar mekabel tumah. The Chazon Ish is not saying that mamid be davar mekabel tumah, even mamid de mamid, is terrible. No, then everything is kosher, he holds. he's disagreeing with the Magen Avraham's solution. He says, if you go like the Magen Avraham, you want to be machmir. You want to assume that Maimon B'Davar Kamatum is a problem, and I'll use the solution that the Magen Avraham suggested, that Maimon B'Davar is not a problem. Zog T'chasnish, I don't see the difference. Once you claim that Maimon B'Davar Kamatum is a problem, Maimon B'Davar should also be a problem, because it tachlis, it's supporting the schach. So once it's supporting the schach, if Maimon B'Davar Kamatum is a problem, then Maimon B'Davar should also be a problem. But says Rabbi Schechter, even the Chasnish admits it's not really a problem to begin with. So he's not so concerned about the whole thing. So there are some who claim that Maimon B'Davar Kamatum is not an issue at all. Reb Chaim supposedly felt that Maimon B'Davar Kamatum, but there's no reason to be machmer at all. And he taka brought a raya. Reb Chaim brings a raya from the Gemara and Daf Beis that we started with. The Gemara and Daf Beis says, even if you made your defanos out of metal, you made such strong defanos out of metal, the sukkah is still kosher. Reb Chaim, I don't understand. If your defanos are made out of metal, it's going to be Maimon B'Davar Kamatum. So some suggest maybe the Gemara means the walls are made out of metal, but what's supporting the schach is not metal. It's certainly not the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara, right? So there's what to talk about over here. Reb Chaim felt from the Gemara, it's clear that since the normal way to build a sukkah is that your schach is going to be leaning on your walls, and yet the Gemara says explicitly that you can build the walls out of metal, that means that Maimon B'Davar Kamatum is kosher. It's not a problem. Many others disagree. So those who want to be machmir, that Maimon B'Davar Kamatum is a problem, it is a problem, l'chatchila, so they normally follow the solution of the Magen Avraham. They normally will put a piece of wood between the metal to make it a mamed de mamed. They're not concerned about the Chazon Ish's problem. The mamed de mamed is no better. They assume if the Magen Avraham is right, let's take the Magen Avraham to the fullest extent, and as long as we have mamed de mamed, if the metal is only a mamed de mamed, if your immediate mamed, your immediate support for the schach is a davar shenem kabel tum, it should be kosher. Yes.
Why should we not assume this whole thing a mamed or not? Is there like a precedent to say?
The Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that if you support the sukkah with the kari amita, it's kosher. So the question is how to learn the other Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has a line. Shulchan Aruch says that if you put the schach on a sulam, on a ladder, it's possible. So why should the schach and the sulam be a ladder? I have kosher a schach. So what did it assume? The sulam is mekabel tuma. But so what? It's only mamid. So someone is saying, no, the sulam is the schach, then it's not just mamid the schach, it's part of the schach, that's worse. And someone is saying, no, from the Shulchan Aruch, you see, l'chatchila, you're not supposed to do it. That's the give and take. Yeah.
Reb Chaim wouldn't have the mamid.
Reb Chaim would say you could be mamid on the metal. Take your canvas sukkah. We'll talk about canvas sukkahs. They might still be a problem because of the canvas. But the schach and the canvas sukkah on the canvas sukkah, put it directly on the metal. What does it matter? Maimon B'Davar Kamatum is not a problem. The Shulchan Aruch says Hasomer Sukkoso Bekari Amit is kosher. So what's the problem? Okay, many poskim are machmir. It's probably better to be machmir if you can. It's not, and most of these sukkahs, you have to be machmir whether you like it or not, because the way the sukkah is made, the schach sits better. The schach sits on the wooden planks. The sukkah is so big, it's so large, especially if you're going to use mats. I'm going to talk about it in just a moment, the mat won't be able to be supported unless you have something else going across the sukkah. So you'll have, you know, whether you like it or not, willy-nilly, you're going to have wood going across, unless you decide not to use the wooden planks that they give you, and you bedafka want to use metal planks. I'm such a brisker, I want to show that you could even be ma'amid b'davar mekabel tuma. I don't know if you have to be such a brisker. Okay. You could use the wooden planks that they give you, and then you won't have the issue of ma'amid b'davar mekabel tuma. You'll only have a ma'amid d'ma'amid. Because the metal or the plastic might be mekabel tuma, but the wood on top of it is not mekabel tuma, so it's directly supporting the schach is not mekabel tuma, so then there won't be a problem. Let's talk about mats. That's the next point to discuss. Bizman hazeh, many of the sukkahs that are built use mats for schach. Why? Out of convenience. It's just very easy to roll out the mat and to roll it back up. Very convenient. Now that's the tzad hashoh, that's the common denominator of all of the minhagim that we have on sukkahs, right? We have you know, bedatz esrogim that are already pre-chosen, you don't even have to look at them. Hadassim are pre-made, you know, they come in a plastic bag, you don't even have to check them. You know, the lulav pretty soon is going to come ready-made. The schach comes in mats, everything. You know, you got your prefabricated sukkah, everything. Prefabricated Judaism, that's what we have nowadays. Baruch Hashem. So that you can sit and learn. Okay. Enough editorial comment here. So Matt's made it big because we want convenience. We're very busy. And it's very easy. It's very easy to store, very easy to maintain. And it doesn't poke anyone. Like the bamboo wood. So the question is it kosher though? That's the problem. If it's not kosher, it could be very convenient, but it's not going to help us very much. So that's a Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Yutes, Samad Beis and Sukkah, talks about machzeles. Machzeles is a mat. Machzeles konen gedola. That's what the Mishnah is discussing. What's the status of a mat? So the Mishnah says it depends. Asol l'shchiva, if you made the mat for the purpose of lying on, in certain cultures they lie on mats in the Far East, in China and in other places. So if you made it to lie on, then it's mekabel tuma, and you can't be mesakech bo, because we know that's the principle. You can't be mesakech with anything that's mekabel tuma. But says the Mishnah, asol l'sikuch, if you made it for the purpose of schach, you didn't make it to lie on, so then it's not mekabel tuma, and you can use it as schach. Pretty simple Mishnah. So before the mass production of kainis schach and other kinds of schach made out of mats, made into mats, the question was, let's say I just have stama mat. I have a mat from the Far East. Can I put it on top of my sukkah? So that's a real shaila, because it's unclear. You know, the Mishnah is talking about whether it's made for shiva or made for sikuch. Let's say it's made stam. They don't have any intention at all. What's the status of that mat? That's a big discussion. The Rishonim have a long discussion about that. Do we follow the intention of the buyer? The Jew who's buying it clearly wants it l'sikuch. But do we follow the intention of the people in the place where it's made? If you're going to make your mats in China, I think most people in China are not going to be using the mat for schach. No? What do you think? Most of the billion people in China, they're not going to be using the mat for schach. They'll use it to lie on. So if you follow the people of the place, you're going to have a big problem. If you follow the kone, the person who buys it from the manufacturer, you won't have such a problem. Even if you have many people, even if many of the mats made in that particular area are used to lie on, to sleep on, but as long as the Jew who's buying it from the manufacturer has in mind to use it for schach, there wouldn't be a problem. Of course, this is a discussion that maybe they had, you know, 10, 15 years ago when you were buying mats from a manufacturer in China who was not manufacturing the mats for the purpose of schach. But nowadays, this is not really relevant. Why? Because now this is a major business. It's a big business. So there's no question that the person who manufactures the mats, wherever they're being manufactured, whether they're being manufactured in Williamsburg, whether they're being manufactured in Timbuktu, it's clear that they're doing it l'shem schach, because this is a big business. So at this point, we assume that it's a sol l'sikuch, it's made for schach, it's not mekabel tuma, and you can use it. That's what most poskim assume, that the schach is perfectly fine. Some poskim claim that maybe the mat should be pasul, not because they're mekabel tuma, because they're asal l'sikuch, so why should they be mekabel tuma? They're not made for lying, but rather they're made for schach, so why should they be pasul? Some want to suggest maybe they should be pasul for a totally different reason. Because the Mishnah on Daf Yudalit and Sukkah quotes machlokes tanoim about a totally different topic. Can you be mesakech b'nesarim? Can you use planks, large planks, as schach? So there's a machlokes in the Mishnah there. And the Gemara explains, different approaches in the Gemara, but the Gemara explains that everyone agrees that if the planks are 4 tfachim wide, then they're pasul. If they're only 3 tfachim wide, they're kosher. Between 3 and 4, that's the machlokes tanoim. So basically what comes out, the way we paskin, is that if the nesarim, if the planks are 4 tefachim wide, not so much, 4 tefachim wide, some of the big planks that you put on the sukkah sometimes are taka 4 tefachim wide, not this way, but you put them this way, you like make notches in them as a support for the whole sukkah. Sometimes they make, you know, if you have only one piece of wood that's going to support the whole sukkah, a little thin piece of wood is not going to be enough, so they put a gezunta plank. So that plank might be 4 tefachim in width. So if it's 4 tefachim in width, we pass it that it's pasul. Why is it pasul? Gzeiras tikra. Since they make roofs out of such planks, even though you're not making the roof, the rain can come through your roof, but using that piece of wood as part of yisrach, that's a problem, right? It's a psul derabanan gzeiras tikra, that we're afraid that someone might think that you can be misakech with a real roof, a full roof. look, you're using this plank that people build a roof out of, so why can't I use a roof? So because of that, Chazal said, you're not allowed to be misakech with this neser, with this plank, it's 4 tefachim wide. So the Beis Yosef in Simen Tov Reish Chaf Tes quotes a tshuva from the Rashba, that once we know that a plank, a neser, that's 4 tefachim wide is possible because of a gezeiras tikra, put two and two together, literally. Let's say you put nesarim that are not 4 tefachim wide. You put nesarim that are only 1 tefach, but you're mechaber 4 nesarim together, 4 small nesarim together. Now you have a large conglomeration of nesarim, of planks that are 4 tefachim wide. Zakhtar Ashba, that's also puzzle. The Gzeras Tikra applies to that too. Because it's one unit. Once you've attached it, once you've been mechaber the nesarim, zebozeh, once you've attached the different planks together, so then it becomes like one plank halachically, and the Gzeras Tikra will apply to that mat as well. It's a mat of planks. So some wanted to suggest, Rabbi Schachter I think said this many years ago, others have said it more recently, that maybe this should be a problem. According to this Rashba, even if your mat is not Mekabel Tumah, but it should be possible because of a Gzeras Tikra. It's not a psul of Mekabel Tumah, that's a psul of Keva. It's a different kind of a psul. So it should be possible completely because of Gzeras Tikra. So others point out, different Achronim, they say no, the mats are different. Mats are different. Mats are either different because it's not like what the Rashba was saying. The Rashba was saying if you attach them so tightly that the rain can't come through. The rain can come through the mats. So if the rain can come through the mats, it doesn't look like a Tikra. Moreover, the mat is made out of very flimsy kinds of pieces of wood. It's made out of, you know, cut up bamboo. It's not made out of planks. So because the mats are much more flimsy, A, the rain can come through, B, the substance that the mats are made out of is a much flimsier substance than the Nesarim that the Gemara is talking about. Even the Rashba, some claim, even the Rashba would admit that his Chumra doesn't apply to our mats. So someone has suggested, no, according to that Rashba, you can't attach. If you were to attach lots of pieces of wood together, and it's 4 tefachim wide, this attachment, the Gzera sticker applies. Others claim, nah, this is much more flimsy than what the Rashi was talking about, so therefore there's no reason to be mad. So a lot of people are mekel. A lot are mekel. They assume that the Gzera sticker doesn't apply here at all, and therefore, as long as it's a solid sticker, which our mats are created for the purpose of schach, then it should be kosher. There's one other issue that some of the poskim dealt with, and that's why you see different types of schach mats. Now, the different types of schach mats is not only because of competition. Part of the competition is that some are machmer for certain shittas. That is, how do you attach the different pieces of bamboo in the schach mat? How do you attach that? Some attach it with nylon cord. Some are attached with hemp. You sometimes see that hemp is like coming out. Hemp is like, it's like a grass. It looks like grass. It's like a dried up grass. Why are they machmer to use hemp? What's the purpose of using hemp? So that's based on another Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tov Reish Chaf Tes Siv Hei writes that if you make schach out of chavolim shel pishtan, the sukkah is posel. If you make schach out of rope, flax rope, the sukkah is posel. Why is it posel? There are different reasons given. The Sharatzion there in Sivkot Nechav quotes from Rashi and Shabbos of all places. Rashi and Shabbos says that if you have any substance that's twisted into threads and then it's braided into rope, it's twisted into threads and then the threads are braided into rope, any kind of substance, string, yarn, whatever, that's going to be Mekabel Tumah as well. So the problem is if you have, what string? Is string Mekabel Tumah? Why should string be Mekabel Tumah? It's not a kli. Yeah, but the problem is it's braided. And if it's braided, it has a din of a beged. Orig. It's like a woven material. Even though it's not really woven, it's only twisted and braided together. No, Rashi and Shabbos holds, in the Torah, that's Mekabel Tumah. That's like a beged. That's like an orig. It's a woven material. So that's why some companies on Medaktek, not to have string attaching the pieces of bamboo, but rather they have either monofilament nylon cord. not multi-filament nylon cord. They have a nylon cord that's made out of one piece. It's not braided together. Monofilament nylon cord, that's what you sometimes see. And others just use hemp. That's what my stock mat is attached to. Sorry?
Hemp is not braided?
Not at all. Hemp is and the problem with the hemp is that over time it comes out because it's not braided, so it's not as strong. So if you're not very careful with it, it could get cut, it could get, because it's very thin pieces. I'm sorry?
What is hemp?
Hemp is like dried up grass. Basically large reeds that they've dried up and they've treated in such a way, they know what they're doing. They treat it in such a way, they have pinholes through all of the bamboo, there are pinholes, and they literally thread the hemp through. They thread the hemp through the bamboo the whole way, and it sticks out on both sides. It's like it's hanging down. So that's the same, or maybe it's even better than the monofilament nylon cord. It's the same halacha, there's no difference. As long as it's not braided, so then this chumra of Rashi will not apply. That's what Samataka and Machmer for, to ensure that that the mat is kedasu kedin. They assume that the Gzeras Tikra doesn't apply, and since it's asol l'sikuch, it's not makabel tuma, and there's no problem with the string either. It's not made out of string. There's hemp that's attaching all the pieces of the mat, so therefore it's not makabel tuma at all, and that's why it's kosher kedasu kedin. Others are not so machmer for this last Rashi, and they use multifilament nylon cord. I think most of the mats nowadays are probably made out of monofilament because they're sensitive to this issue. Yes.
Even if we're that are machmir for the Rashba, you'd have to explain the machzelet mishnah that was less than 3 tefachim.
Excellent question. Rabbi Elazar Moshe Hurwitz discusses that issue. If you want to look, Rav Sternbuch has a piece about this. I was troubled with this kasha also. Rav Sternbuch in his Mordem Uzmanim, Chelik Vav Simen Ayin Aleph, he talks about this. Rabbi Elazar Moshe Hurwitz claim that Mishnah is only talking about baloi kelim. It's complicated. He holds that the Mishnah about machzelah is not talking about a large machzelah. It's a machzelah was large at one time, but then you cut it down. But tak, if it will be large, there's no question it should be possible. But that's a big chiddush. It's not the pashup shot in the Mishnah. You're right. But that's a good ha'ar. Right? According to that Rashba, what are you going to do with the Mishnah? Got to work on it. Okay. The next important issue that they talk about in Sukkah is the canvas sukkahs. Are there any issues to be aware of or to be concerned about in a canvas sukkah? And this is relevant not only for people who actually have the canvas sukkahs, but even people who bought one of the later designs, so they don't have the canvas sukkah at home. If you go to a restaurant or to a park, amusement park or something on Kalamoid, often the sukkahs that they have over there are canvas sukkahs. So you have to be sensitive to these issues. I took my family to Hershey Park a number of years ago, and the sukkah in Hershey Park was mamash gevaldik. A sukkah that could fit, 1,000 people. It was amazing. But then we went to one of those small attractions, a little bit further away from the park, and there was a sukkah there. The canvas was like hanging on the sides. Nothing was really attaching it to anything. I was I was not so happy about that. I did not eat in that sukkah. So you got to be sensitive to the fact that the canvas has to be made in a certain way. What do you mean? What do I mean? The Gemara in Sukkah of Chavdal Amabei says that kol mechitza she'eni yecholo lama b'ruch mitzuya ein mechitza. If the mechitza can't stand in a normal wind, it's not called a mechitza. If when the wind blows, the mechitza is going to move, so that's not called a mechitza. So how much does it have to move? That's the question. The Sharatziyun and Simon Tafer Shlamitz have called Memhei quotes from Rashi on the Sugya that as long as the ruach, as long as the wind is molech umevi, if it just moves the canvas a little bit, that's not called a mechitza. Mechitza doesn't move. If the wind is going to move the mechitza, that's not called a mechitza. It's a big chumrah. The chazanish is more mekel. The chazanish holds that the only time that we say this mechitza is not called a good mechitza, if it can't be omeg ruach mitzuya, that's if the wind is going to move it so much, it's going to move it gimel tfachim out of its location, 3 tfachim away from where it is now. Because 3 tfachim is a shir choshev. If it's going to move it more than 3 tfachim, that's mevatel the shem mechitza completely. Rashi holds, no. As long as it moves a little bit, even if it's less than 3 tfachim, but it's a moving wall. A movable wall is not a wall. That's not serious. The Chasnish says, no, it has to be mevatel from the shem mechitza. That means it has to move it 3 tfachim. Once it's moved 3 tfachim, we know there's a principle of lavud. Probably familiar with the principle of lavud. We'll get to it later in Hashem. Lavud means that things which are 3 tfachim from each other, we assume the whole area is closed. Like, we'll talk about it in the context of schach. If you have schach, and then you have a little avir, a little airspace between, so if it's less than three tefachim, we assume it's really closed up. So that's the shear of gimel tefachim. Chazanish says that as long as the wall or the canvas, whatever, is not going to be moved three tefachim, that's still viewed like it's in its previous location. If it's moved more than three tefachim, then that's called a hefsik, and that's mevatel l'shem mechitz. So even if we'll take the approach of Rashi, let's say, the Chumra, if the wall moves a little bit, it's going to be possible. So someone might ask, but I won't have that problem. I'll tie down my canvas. Now, if you put the canvas up and you don't tie it down, so of course it can move a little bit. It can move more than three tefachim, especially in a stronger wind. It's got to be a ruach metsuya, not a hurricane wind. But, you know, if it's not a very light wind, if it's a ruach metsuya, maybe it can move even three tefachim. But I'm going to tie down the canvas. So what could be the problem? The problem could be the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Tziv Yud quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, who says, even if you tie down the stinim, you tie down the sheets, the canvas that you're making the walls out of, it still could be possible. It's still going to be possible even if you tie it down, because we're afraid that the strings are going to become undone. So Midrabban and Chazal will say that sukkah is still possible. You shouldn't sit in that sukkah. Even if you tie down the mechitza, because we're afraid that the mechitza is going to become undone, and then it's not going to be a mechitza, because it can't stand Baruch Metzuyah. So what is one to do if they have a sukkah that's made out of canvas? So Rabbi Peretz himself says that the only way to be mashia such a sukkah is to put some kind of konim. He talks about reeds. We don't use the reeds. We'll use string. To put something less than three tefachim, you know, from the ground until 10 tefachim, it should be string less than three tefachim. Every three tefachim, put another piece of string. What do I mean? Let's pick a picture. Okay, let's say this is your wall. You want to put the canvas there. So the wall, let's say, is 7 feet tall. Okay? But your sukkah, the wall of the sukkah doesn't have to be 7 feet tall. The wall of the sukkah only has to be what? 10 tefachim tall, right? The shear of a sukkah, by the way, is how much? Zion al Zion. Right? 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Not very large. Our sukkahs are much larger than they have to be, right? So the wall really only has to be 10 tefachim. That's much less than 7 feet. So if you're looking at the wall, okay? If you put a piece of string from beam to beam, upright to upright, let's say you put a piece of string at 2 inches, at 2.8 inches, and then another 2.8 inches, you put another piece of string, and another 2.8 inches, you put another piece of string, and of course you'll need the fourth piece of string, because let's say you put another piece of string at 2.8 inches, what do you have? It's more than 10 tefachim, right? I mean, not inches, tefachim. 2.8 tefachim, I think, in fact. Let's be careful here. 2.8 tefachim. How much is 2.8 tefachim? Each tefach is 3.6 inches. Sorry. Okay? So, basically, if you put... What do you got to do? 7.2... You got to put a string every 8 inches. Okay? So if you put a piece of string every 8 inches, 10 tefachim is going to be what? 36, let's say. 10 tefachim is going to be 36 inches, right? 3 feet or so. So if you put... Gotta put a couple of strings there, four or five strings, so that you have lavud between, meaning there's less than three tefachim between string and ground, less than three tefachim between string and string, less than three tefachim between the next string, etc. That goes up to the 10 tefachim, so then there's no problem with the canvas. Even if the canvas billows in the wind, it doesn't matter. The canvas is for your privacy. It's not for the wall. That's your halachic wall. Someone walks into the sukkah and says, oh, nice sukkah. What's nice about it? Oh, the schach is beautiful. Mats, I see the mats, the canvas mats, and your macher for the hemp too. Oh, very nice. Is that the only thing beautiful? Oh, the walls are very nice. The canvas is very nice. Canvas? That's not my wall. My wall is the string. The canvas is just, you know, to give you privacy, to cover up from the outside. Right, to put the pictures on, whatever. Okay? That's what the Shulchan Aruch recommends. If you have sedinim, if you have walls made out of sheets, or we would have canvas, to try to put something up there which is not made out of canvas, which can't billow in the wind, that would be machshir the sukkah. Okay, so it's best to try to do that. You know, if a person is going home and their parents have a canvas sukkah, so if the parents are going to think it's a little strange that the son is putting string all over the sukkah. So you know, you could speak to me later. But it's best to try to do this to avoid this problem. It's a halach and shulchan aruch. This is not a briska chumras. This is a serious issue. Yes. I've heard someone comment that if you talk about issues of sukkah, so everyone always discusses the issue of the mats, you know, mamid b'davar kabel tumah, and they talk about canvas. Everyone is so machmir for the mamid b'davar kabel tumah. They put the extra piece of wood, but for this they're not so machmir. That's mamish shachumer that you don't necessarily have to be machmir for. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that mamid b'davar kabel tumah doesn't even pass the schachma ikar adin, right? So that people are machmir for, and that you don't really have to be machmir for. They're machmir for it anyway. But this mamish you have to be machmir for, and this people feel uncomfortable being machmir for. So, you know, you have to realize what chumra is appropriate to be machmir for, and what chumra, if you want to be machmir, matov, you know, you can do that, but it's not the most significant chumra. Sim.
Does it matter if the strings are inside or outside the canvas?
No. Because as long as you have the wall there, it doesn't matter whether you see the wall or not. Let's say you have wooden walls, and you put a nice canvas inside the wood. The pasul is the wooden wall? Obviously not. So the same should hold true over here. This is a halachic wall, so that would be kosher whether you have canvas inside or not. Yeah?
Is it that when the canvas is like maybe not attached to the bottom we're talking about? It's when it's flapping? Or like if the canvas was like attached to like all sides?
I think that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. Even if it's attached on all sides, we're still afraid. There's this chumrah that we're afraid that it's going to get undone. And sometimes it really can get undone. Maybe not the first day, maybe not the second day, but the third day it could get undone.
At least a little bit. Over to those poles, it's like...
That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that even if you're mahadek heitev, even if you attach it very strongly, there's a schumer not to use sheets, because we're afraid that it's going to get undone and then it will billow in the wind. Yes?
Why is the string any stronger than the string?
The string doesn't billow.
The
string doesn't move. The string doesn't move. You're saying that we're afraid that the string is going to fall. Yeah, but if the string falls, then that means that the wall has fallen. The problem with the canvas is that the string can get undone, but you're not going to realize that the string is undone. It still looks like a canvas sukkah to you. But if the string falls, you're going to see the string fell. That doesn't mean, Sam, that because you have to be able to see the string falling, that the string has to be inside the sukkah. You'll see it from the outside. Okay, one more. Michael.
What about today, our canvas sukkah uses Velcro.
Velcro. Now that the astronauts have discovered Velcro, is that any different? I don't know. Velcro can also become undone. It's hard to know if the Shulchan Aruch was talking about Velcro. It's very strong. It doesn't move.
Uh-huh.
It's probably still better to do this.
What?
No, but Molech Humevi doesn't mean that you see it being held so strongly as the wind is blowing. That's not called moving. It really has to move in the wind at least a little bit. So if you tighten it with Velcro, maybe there shouldn't be a problem. I think there should be a problem because we're afraid that the Velcro might become undone. You know what might happen? What might happen is that a little kid might want to play with the Velcro and he'll undo the Velcro and it'll become undone. It can become undone. It's not like it can't happen. Okay, you're strong, yeah?
Let's say, how long does the wall have to be?
How long?
Yeah, I'm saying like, let's say you have like a 30 long...
Oh, it doesn't. It has to be Zion Tvachim, Zion al Zion. Right, and Shtayim Kilchos and Shlishis Afilu Tefach. The first two, there are two walls that are catty cornered, right? And then the third wall, even if it's a Tefach, there's a whole question of where that Tefach has to be. It's a little complicated, but it doesn't have to be that big. You don't even need to do this on all four walls of the sukkah, because you don't need four walls for a sukkah. So two walls in an L shape, it has to be done, and you should do on the third wall. I mean, I guess if you're going to do it a little bit, you can't tie the string in the middle. You have to tie it. So three walls you have to put string on, but you don't have to put string on more than three walls. Okay? Okay, let's talk a little bit more about Tzchach Pasul and Tzchach Kashim. The halacha is that Avir and Tzchach Pasul can pasul a sukkah. Airspace and Tzchach Pasul can pasul a sukkah, but the halachas are very different for the two. Let's first talk about Tzchach Pasul. Let's say you have schach posel, schach made out of metal, or made out of planks, or something like that. Let's say the case we gave before, you want to put a big plank in the sukkah to support some of the other schach. So the Gemara says that schach posel passels if it's dalet fachin. That's the sheer choshev for schach posel. That's when it will pass. Now, what does it mean it passels? As the Mefarshim explained, if you have schach kosel in the sukkah, basically it splits the sukkah in two. Let's say you have a plank. If you have a plank, so then it'll split the sukkah in two. So if you have, let's say, looking from it with a bird's eye view, if you have a plank on the side, and you put other planks on this side, this plank is just sort of like to keep the sukkah together. This sukkah is still kosher. This part of the sukkah might not be kosher if it's not a large enough area, but if this area is large enough, who cares about the plank? That's chach pasul. Okay, fine, it's chach pasul, but it's not gonna destroy the sukkah. It splits the sukkah because basically that chach is pasul. So now you've got two sukkahs. You got one and two. So then you have to look at the measurements of each sukkah and figure out if it's really the right shear. Chach pasul will pasul only if it's dalat tefachim in width. Okay. Now, if the schach posel is only 3 tefachim, it's very important to keep in mind. If the schach is only 3 tefachim, or if it's less than 4 tefachim, right? If it's 3.5 also. If it's less than 4 tefachim, it doesn't posel the sukkah. It doesn't posel at all. Not only does it not posel the sukkah, you're allowed to sit under that schach posel also. Most of our circumstances, you have a plank, it's not going to be 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim is quite large. 4 tefachim is like 12 inches, it's a foot long, a foot wide. It's not, most of our schach posel is not going to be that posel. Not going to be that long. So if it's only less than 4 tefachim, the schach posel is not going to posel the sukkah. And you can even sit underneath it. It's batel. It's batel to the rest of the schach. It's not going to posel at all. Avir is a little bit different. Airspace posels if it's how much between the pieces of schach? 3 tefachim, exactly. If you can't say a din of lavud anymore. It's interesting. Airspace seems to be more chomer than schach pasul. Schach pasul only pasuls if it's 4 tefachim. Airspace will pasul if it's 3 tefachim. If it's less than 3 tefachim, obviously we say lovud. Lovud kisasim dami. It's closed and it's not going to pasul. The halacha, though, is another chomer when it comes to avir, when it comes to airspace. Not only is the shear less to pasul, but let's say it's not 3 tefachim. Let's say we do say lovud. The halacha is you still can't sit under that avir. You're not supposed to sit under that avir. Even if it doesn't pass the sukkah, you're not supposed to sit under airspace. What's the difference? Why should airspace be any different than schach pasul? So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Resh Chav Zayin Sifkot Yud, he quotes from the Rishonim that you know why air is mochamer? Because the hefsik in the schach is more recognizable when it comes to airspace. If you have schach pasul, you don't see the psul. It's not staring you in the eyes. That's why the shear is greater. Without four tefachim, that's not a shear chashuv to pasul the sukkah with the schach pasul. But airspace, people see the airspace. So since you see the airspace much more readily, it will. Therefore, you can't even sit under airspace that doesn't even pasul the sukkah. Right? Since it's more recognizable, the avir is nikar. It's more recognizable. So the hefsik. It looks more like a hefsek, so Chazal said you shouldn't even sit under such avir, even though it actually does not pasul the sukkah. Now, just one second. If you can't sit under avir, even if it doesn't pasul the sukkah, so how can you sit in the sukkah? Every sukkah has airspace. So if I can't sit under airspace, I can't sit in the sukkah. That's the Rosh's kasha. Mishnah Berurah also quotes that. The Rosh says, no, that can't be. When we say that you can't sit under avir if it's less than 3 tefachim, that means if it's avir al pnei kula. And this is quoted by the Rama in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama in Sif Dalet in Siman Tov Resh Chav Zayin. No, excuse me. It's not there. Let me find you the Maramachim. The Rama in Siman Tov Resh Lamed Beis Sif Beis. Schach Pasul is discussed in Tov Resh Lamed Beis Sif Aleph, and then Avir is discussed in Sif Beis. So, the Ramah commenting on the Shulchan Aruch there in Siv Beis, when the Shulchan Aruch says that B'pochos Migimok Shera Mitzarev Lashem Asukah Ve'en Yishenim Tachtav, the Ramah says V'dafke Shaholech Apnei Kol Asukah. You have airspace going the entire length or width of the sukkah. That's the airspace that's choshev. That's the airspace that you can't sit under, even if it's less than 3 tefachim. If it's 3 tefachim, it's possible. It'll split the sukkah in half again. But if it's less than 3 tefachim, it doesn't split the sukkah, but you can't sit underneath it. So that led to the chumrah that some poskim suggest that what you should do is when you put up your sukkah, whichever way the schach is going, put one piece of schach perpendicular to the rest of the schach. And then you'll never have this problem. because you'll never have avir al pnei kula. You have a piece of schach that's splitting. So that's a very good thing to keep in mind. Always try to put a piece of schach, just one piece of schach, perpendicular to all the other schach. And then this chumrah that you can't sit under avir if it's al pnei kula, that won't apply. Because you will have avir, but there's always avir in the sukkah. But it's not al pnei kula. It doesn't extend from one side of the sukkah to the other. There's one other halacha about schach pasul, and that is called dofen akuma. That's a famous halacha in sukkah. Dofen akuma means that even though I just told you that the shear, here, let's get this on the board. The shear for schach pasul is dalet tfachim. The shear for avir is gimel tfachim, to pasul. But dofen akuma is a special halacha. Dofen akuma tells me that if I'm on the side of the sukkah, let's say the schach pasul is on the side. So even if the schach pasul extends to Dalid Amos, right, from six to 8 feet, the sukkah can still be kosher. It's not going to pasul the sukkah. You can't sit under that, but it's not going to pasul the sukkah. But let's say I don't have, let's say that's my wall. Let's say I only have two walls, including that wall. What am I supposed to do? It's still kosher. Why? Dofen akuma. We treat it as though the wall of the sukkah extends to the schach. See? So you can't sit under a wall. You got to sit under the schach, but it's not going to pasul. This is a special halacha, and this is very relevant because many sukkahs are built next to a home, and sometimes you have some kind of overhang on the house. So if the overhang is less than dalet fachim, there's no question you can sit under that. Sometimes people are sitting on the sukkah and always looking up. So if it's less than four tfachim, it's less than a foot, there's no problem, right? Because it's not schach posel. If it's more than a foot, so then you can't sit under it, but it's not going to posel the sukkah. Now, if you have other walls, it wouldn't posel anyway, because who cares? Just sit on the other side. But if you only have like two walls, including that area, and the rest are made out of canvas or whatever, right? So as long as it's less than dalet amos, it's still kosher because we assumed dofen akuma, the wall is bent and everything is okay. Kedusha sukkah. I think we mentioned this already. Kedusha sukkah. There is a certain kedusha in the sukkah. Kshem shachal shem shemayim al chagiga kach chal al sukkah. So one is not supposed to use the wood of the sukkah for some other non-sacred purpose. One is not, the sukkah is osur b'hanah. You can't use a bamboo stick for, you know, to play baseball chalamoid. You can't do that. There's a very important taz. Some people know that the sukkah is osur b'hanah. They say, oh, you can't lean any chairs on the sukkah. Often people want to lean the chairs. When you're cleaning up, where exactly can you put the chairs? So there's a nice wall there, so it's easy to lean the chairs on. So, oh no, it's asur b'hanah. The Taz says that's not a problem. The isur hanah of sukkah means you can't be mevatel it from the shem sukkah, meaning you can't take it away from the sukkah, take the wall away, take the schach away. But if it's there, even though you are getting hanah by leaning something against the wall, that's not a problem. It's an important kula to keep in mind. Finally, what does a person have to? Can we hold the question? I just want to finish up. I don't want to keep anyone. What does a person have to eat inside the sukkah? Right? How much does a person have to eat? So we know that the only type of achila that you have to eat inside the sukkah is an achilas keva, a somewhat permanent kind of eating. You really, l'chatchila, should eat everything. Hareza meshubach. If you eat everything in the sukkah, hareza meshubach. But you're not going to make a bracha of leisha basukkah. You can't make a bracha samitzah of leisha basukkah unless you eat an achilas keva in the sukkah. Achilas arai can be eaten outside of the sukkah. What's achilas arai? What's achilas keva? So the Shulchan Aruch and Simet Tov Reish Lamed Tes Siv Beis writes that a kebetza of pas, up until a kebetza of pas, that's called arai. So if you eat a kebetza's worth, an egg's worth of pas, you can still eat that outside the sukkah. And certainly you can eat fruit, you can drink outside the sukkah. Someone wants to be machmer, of course, is better. Where does Shilas come up regarding this issue? So a couple of points. Havdalah is always an issue on sukkahs. Why? Because what are you doing? You're making havdalah on a little bit of wine. You're not normally not eating mezonos. So wine is not called an achilah b'kviyas. So the question is, if I'm only drinking wine, should I make a leisha b'sukkah? Should I not make a leisha b'sukkah? The problem is, the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha quotes from the Ritva that drinking a revius of wine is called a kviyas. Now, technically speaking, when you make havdalah, you don't have to drink a revius of wine. It's enough to drink malo lugma if you can drink a rov revius. So if you want to do that, then you won't have any shayla of leisha b'sukkah at all. But let's say you're going to drink, you normally drink a full cup of wine or whatever. So that's a shayla then. Because according to the Ritva, it's an achila, it's a shtir b'kviyas. According to others, it might not be a kviyas. Do I make a leishim b'sukkah? Do I not make a leishim b'sukkah? What should I do? So some people say, no, when they make avdolah, they should have a mezonos. Make a mezonos, and then you can make a leishim b'sukkah. The ikrat din, when you make avdolah on sukkahs, you don't have to make a leishim b'sukkah. You don't really have to be machmir for the shita. Most of us are not going to drink a full revius anyway. If you want, you can pour off from the coast. You won't have to drink a full revius, and there won't be a problem. This becomes a shiloh when it's cold. When it's cold, the women don't want to have to go out to the sukkah. What, I have to put on my coat? And sometimes, especially if you live in an apartment building, to walk downstairs to the sukkah is a big tircha on the family. So I would say a person who lives in an apartment building, they shouldn't be matriach everyone to go downstairs to the sukkah. They can make abdallah at home. Not in the sukkah. We can assume, like those poskim who would claim that drinking wine, even a revius of wine, is not a kviyas, it's not an achilah of kviyas, and therefore the need for leishah b'sukkah doesn't exist. You don't have to be machmer to go sit in the sukkah. That's the best idea. If you have a sukkah that's very convenient, it's not so cold outside, so then why not? Why shouldn't you go outside into the sukkah and try to make havdalah in the sukkah? Should you make a leishah b'sukkah? If you want to have mezonos, so then you can make a leishah b'sukkah. You don't absolutely have to have the mezonos. If you don't want to have to have the mezonos, if you don't want the mezonos, so then you don't have to make a leishah b'sukkah. The poskim talk about what happens if you eat mezonos. What kind of mezonos is chayav in leishah b'sukkah itself? So some claim only if you're kovei asuda on the mezonos. Very often we eat mezonos, not kovei asuda. You eat a piece of cake. You're not kovei asuda on the piece of cake. Kovei asuda means you eat a significant amount of mezonos. You're eating supper. With a lot of mezonos, that could be a kviya suda. So some poskim say that if you're not kovei suda, you don't make a leishah b'sukkah on mezonos either. That's quite a shaila. The Shari Tshuva says that if you make kiddush in the sukkah, by definition, that's always called an achilah b'kviyas, because you're eating the mezonos to be kovei suda and kiddush alav makom suda. So there, mezonos always will be chayv in a leishah b'sukkah. But stop eating a piece of cake. You know, let's say you're in the middle of learning, and you're learning inside. Let's say it's good to learn in the sukkah. But let's say you're in the middle of learning and you want to have a piece of cake. So you say, oh, I have to eat the piece of cake with a leishah b'sukkah in the sukkah. It's not so clear that you make a leishah b'sukkah on that piece of cake, because that's not a kviyas suda. It's nice to go into the sukkah, but it's not clear that you have to make a leishah b'sukkah. Something to keep in mind. And finally, the Shaar HaTzion also makes an interesting comment. Shaar HaTzion, Siman Tov Resh Lamed Tes of Katan Chof Ches, says that let's say a person is eating a meal and they go inside to help their mother serve. And they want to drink something inside. So you would say, well, drinking? That's not achilah b'kviyas. I can drink that inside. So up to Shaar HaTzion. Now, if you're in the middle of a meal, it could be everything that you're doing, everything you eat as part of that meal is called an achilah b'kviyas. So maybe even drinking has to take place in the sukkah. It's important chumra to keep in mind. A lot of people do not know this. So they'll go inside and, okay, you know, it's only a piece of vegetable. You know, the mother's preparing the salad. So you sort of, you know, you sneak a nice red pepper. So it could be that's a problem. Because if you're in the middle of eating a meal, maybe every part of the meal is called an achilah b'kviyos, so everything should really be eaten inside the sukkah. Mm-hmm.